Welcome into the Jaguars Broadcast Week in Review Podcast, presented by TIAA Bank, and JP Shadrick with you on Friday, September 17th. We're getting ready for Week 2 of the home opener, the Jaguars and the Denver Broncos, coming up this Sunday at TIAA Bank Field. We have the best of the week around Jaguars Broadcasting and Jaguars.com, including pride of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor on postgame radio, Tony Boselli and Pete Briscoe discussing continuing to improve as the weeks go along, and head coach Urban Meyer ignoring the critics. Remember to subscribe to the Jaguars official podcast network on Apple iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you download your podcasts. Give us a comment and a five-star rating. Season tickets, single game tickets, and group tickets are still available, and you can be a part of the new era of Jaguars football and own it. Visit jaguars.com/tickets or call 904-633-2000. We begin this week immediately after last week's loss to the Texans. On Jaguars postgame radio, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor, and I had immediate reaction to the kickoff weekend loss.
And it did not go well, at least let's put it that way, Fred. I mean, it was a little choppy early in the game, and then, as you said, there was some positivity at certain points later, but too little too late for this Jaguars team today overall. The Jaguars defense, though, was, Mike, I think, was we were really thinking, what is this thing really going to look and feel like today? Well, there were moments where it didn't really look and feel that great. Tyrod Taylor got away from them in certain situations, and executed some plays down the field.
Right? Yeah, he broke containment, and we said that's the one thing with him. You have to keep him in the pocket. It's difficult for him to beat you from the pocket, but today he was able to escape. And again, you know, you look at the raw numbers, Mark Ingram, 3.3 yards per carry, David Johnson, 3.3, Philip Lindsay, 3.1. You would take that, but it just seemed like, Fred, when they needed, you know, 3 yards, they got four, and similar kind of things like that. So, a lot of work to be done on that side of the ball, too. But how difficult is it to get these guys when they're coming up field with a head of steam? Like Caleb on Chase, I thought he had a kill shot. And Tyrod just ducked right under it, and then he missed him again on the next opportunity. But it's really those ones right there. You take that shot, he's such a small target as it is, and those are the ones that can break your back.
Right, Mike. We know first and foremost this is a passing NFL. The rules are catered to passing and scoring. And then when you add a mobile quarterback in that equation, you know, guys like Tyrod Taylor, who's been patiently waiting his opportunity to get out there and show people that I can still play in this league. There's nothing wrong with me. I really can play in this league. And it's a big order, you know, for our defense, especially playing a 3-4 front, to get out there. And first up, you have to deal with a mobile quarterback. I was really hoping in the back of my mind, the last time we opened up in Houston, Saxonville was born. I was hoping to see some of that today, but we were far from it. But they still have an opportunity to get out there and learn each other. I think they have to communicate more. I saw some communication breakdown early with some of the coverage defenders dropping in the same area in the zone. The coverages were fairly soft, and with soft coverages, bad communication, no rush, the quarterback's going to sit back there and pick you apart all day, especially if he's mobile. Now he's extending the play where he can make those big throws to the Brandon Cooks of the world. You know, he can make sure he can get those balls off to the Danny Amendolas and give them an opportunity to do some stuff with the ball. So collectively as a group, the communication has to get better. As the plays have to get in, allow those guys an opportunity to play fast, to dial in, recognize the offensive set so they can play fast and play with confidence. So as the season goes, and I keep saying this, I'm hoping that this is what will happen with communication and just being able to get out there and play with confidence and make some plays. So chalk up week one. That's in the books. These guys will go back and watch the film and see where they can improve. And they got to make the plays when they count, Mike, like you say. He has to get out there and make that sack when it presents itself.
On to more reaction from last week's game in Houston from Jaguars Happy Hour Radio Monday. Each week, CBS Sports senior writer Pete Briscoe, pride of the Jaguars left tackle Tony Boselli, and I rehash the game, dissect what went right and wrong, and look ahead. In this clip, we look to the upcoming stretch of games for the Jaguars.
Pete, would you not argue that Houston will be one of the worst teams they face all year on their schedule? I told you how I felt about Houston. I thought they were going to be feisty early in the season and stay in games. I think they're going to be one of those teams that hangs around in games. They might not win a lot, but they're going to be a pain for a lot of teams. Hey, they're the first place team in the division.
Yeah,
the division
I get that.
Was a disaster yesterday.
Listen, I'll just go to the next three. Denver better or worse than Houston?
Better.
Okay, yeah. So you better get better because you're playing. By the way, Vic Fangio, one of the best defensive coordinators minds in football, and will throw a bunch of stuff at you, and they got good personnel to do it.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, they got a guy named Miller over on that side of the ball, too.
How about Arizona? Better or worse than Houston?
Way better.
Yeah.
Okay. Pretty good.
Kyler was pretty good yesterday.
Chandler Jones only had five sacks.
The defense was phenomenal. I just watched the tape of the Cardinals. They were phenomenal.
Taylor Lewan had a long day, Pete.
Oh, my. It started on the first play, though. He put his head down. On a run play, he put his head down. He went right by him and tackled him the whole day. He was awful. You know, we've come up with this thing at CBS now. Every Wednesday when we make our picks, I give out the annual spinning top award. They've created a little gift with me spinning on a top. He's this week's winner, I can tell you that. He was awful. Tony, okay. If you didn't know who that was, you would have thought it was some guy that got up off the street to play. That's how bad he was.
Week four, Thursday night on the road's hard all by itself. I don't care who you play. Cincinnati, better or worse than Houston?
Better.
Better. So you better get better. You have to get better.
Which begs the question. Is 0-17 a possibility?
No, Pete, it's not.
No, what?
It's not. I'm not doing that.
Well, it's still possible because they haven't won yet.
But yeah, I get where you're going. But
there's
the first overreaction
of the day. Yeah, overreaction Monday, Pete.
No, I'm not saying they're going 0-17, but it's you look at the schedule, it's certainly possible.
No,
I think you're insinuating it.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I'm not.
I think you are.
Well, okay,
Pete.
You just have them at 0-4 right off the gate, right out of
that. No, I never said they're going to be 0-4. I just said you better
okay,
get
pick
a lot.
A win. Pick a win out of that group, then.
You better get a lot better. You better improve because it does not get easier.
Okay,
you want to lock one of those, Tone?
No.
No. Okay.
I'll lock this. I'll lock something. The team's not going 0-17. That's a lock.
Well, I would pretty much say that, too. But it's hard to find a win on that schedule now.
Well, if you play that way, but the first rule in football, don't beat yourself. First rule, don't beat yourself. Like, just clean that up, and you got a chance.
Moving along now to Wednesday. Head coach Urban Meyer in his press conference was asked about his name being rumored around the Southern Cal opening, and he set the record straight right away.
Yeah, there's no chance that I'm here and committed to try to build an organization.
Later in that Wednesday press conference, Meyer was asked how he handles criticism from outside and on social media. This is not his first rodeo.
I don't know who they are, and I don't... I probably got an idea. But I learned about 6 years ago when I read something. It was the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I said, I'm good. I'm done. I'll never read again. So Amy helps me with that. She sends me just the positive stuff. It's been kind of small, but...
Every article I read.
What was it you read?
You have to ask Amy. I don't read it. No, I can promise you I don't read this narrative, and I don't read the silliness about our players or about... And she knows that. She's just, hey, did you hear? And I'm like, oh, is that right?
Now to the game this week, and Meyer knows this is a long season ahead, and there are some positive things to build upon.
I was warned many, 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 many times. It's a journey. It's not a sprint. And we're healthy. Our attitudes are good. We have good players, and we're building something. So, our special teams, we're incredible. Some really good efforts. Josh Allen had some really good efforts. We got to get rid of the damn penalties, and we got to not turn the ball over. That's going to be that way for 100 years from now.
Quarterback Trevor Lawrence threw three interceptions last week in his NFL debut, and the Jaguars' offense got away from the run early. Those penalties that Meyer just talked about were one of the reasons why, and then they were trailing later in the half. Lawrence said that 12 straight throws to begin a game is not what they had in mind.
I don't think anyone tries to go throw it 12 times straight coming out of the gate, but you look at the penalties and backed up and the third down situations, you just have to. So, and then... You know, I had an early miss low on the out to DJ, and that put us in third down or second down in the screen, and you know, so all of that, and some of those were screens too, which they're passes, but obviously that's for run after the catch, so it's a little bit different. But yeah, that's obviously not what you want. So we all gotta do better. That's not the offensive coordinator. That's really us on execution and putting him in a bad spot.
Lawrence also could use his legs to extend plays or to gain a little something when a play breaks down. But I think I speak for most Jaguars supporters when I say slide, Trevor, slide.
There wasn't many where it was like a for sure one where it was wide open. I should have ran. But I think just in general of using my legs and extending plays and not just sitting in the pocket, you know, that's a part of my game that I think helps me, helps the team, and can keep plays alive. Like, that's something that I do well. So continuing to do that, and we talked about that in the preseason, and I feel like I got a little bit better, and then this week kind of was in the, you know, could have done a little bit more. So just something I'm always going to work on. But, you know, that's usually a pretty natural part of my game, so I'm not too concerned. I think the more comfortable I get, that'll start to show.
When we return, Joe Cullen on what the defense did well last week and how it can build this week. NFL Network analyst Bucky Brooks on how to work on penalties and communication on the practice field. Plus, Urban Meyer on home field advantage for the Jaguars. All that after this.
Jags fans, TIAA Bank is here to help you keep your money working hard, week in and week out. Open a yield pledge checking or money market account today and start scoring some of the most competitive rates in the country. To see how we can fit into your financial game plan, visit a financial center near you or find us online at tiaabank.com/jags. TIAA Bank is a division of TIAA, FSB, member FDIC, and the official bank of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
It's go time. It's game time. Let's get it.
Mic'd up. Let's get
you. Oh, might be mic'd up. I really forgot about this.
Oh, my God.
He was supposed to remind me. He didn't remind me.
I knew it.
Like, get it. Yeah. Yeah. I ain't had nowhere to go either, though. I'm going to have to do some to get out of there.
Welcome back to the Jaguars Broadcast Week in Review podcast presented by TIAA Bank. And that was wide receiver LaVisca Chenault Jr. mic'd up last week. The full piece available on Jaguars.com. The Daily's play schedule coming up. Trippy Red, September 18th. That is tomorrow. Santana next week, September 21st. 311 on the 22nd. Counting Crows on the 23rd. A busy week. Tickets available at Daily'sPlace.com. And as always, thanks for checking out the official Jaguars Podcast Network. Leave us a comment and a five-star rating. The Jaguars defense gave up six plays of 20 or more yards in last week's loss, but the Texans never really broke through with any big runs by the running backs. Defensive coordinator Joe Cullen in his press conference Thursday discussed some of the issues from last week, but also felt confident in the group's play against the run.
You know, when you really dig into run defense, so what's the yard per carry? We were a yard less than we were a year before. Okay, we were 3.9. So if you stay at 3.9 for the year, you're going to be in the top five. The tailbacks averaged 3 yards a carry. They had 37 carries. Mark Ingram, you might have thought he's a powerful runner. I love Mark. I was with him in Baltimore. He averaged 3.01 a carry. So the tailbacks averaged 3 yards a carry. Okay, so to me, you know, it wasn't perfect, but 3 yards a carry, I'll take that any day.
All the press conferences from the week available on Jaguars.com. Let's move on to this week's game against the Denver Broncos, a 1 p.m. kickoff time at TIAA Bank Field. The game presented by TIAA Bank turned potential into progress. On Jags Drive Time Thursday morning, I sat in for Ashwin Sullivan this week, and John Osier, Brian Sexton, and I visited with NFL Network reporter James Palmer to recap the Jags' performance in Week 1 and to talk about what the Broncos really need out of quarterback Teddy Bridgewater. It didn't really go as planned for the Jaguars in week number one. You know, there were some early fits and starts in the game. They got behind and couldn't rally back. Having to bounce back is one thing, but having to bounce back against a Broncos team that's built like they are is another. What kind of challenge lies ahead this week, James?
JP, very different from what they faced with the Lovie Smith defense with the Houston Texans. You know, you and I were both there at the game, and that's a defense that, you know, even Trevor Lawrence said, they're not going to try to hide a lot of things from you. They're going to go out there. They know what they're doing. They don't disguise a bunch. And Lovie does that, so they play fast. It is a different world with Vic Fangio, who many around the league, when you talk to him, they'll tell you one of the best defensive minds on the planet. He disguises all sorts of things. He hides things. He brings pressure different ways. And that's just not even mentioning the talent that they have in the secondary, in the pass rush, the health of Bradley Chubb rushing opposite of Von Miller is going to be something to keep an eye on this week. They're going to know more today after he practices on a limited basis with that ankle issue that held him out of week one. But if he's healthy, you know, Trevor Lawrence was under pressure, I think, 30% of the time against the Texans. That could go up against this pass rush that the Denver Broncos have.
James, where are the Broncos offensively? And I guess Bridgewater, it almost seems like he's the aging veteran now, which I know he's really not. He's not an old guy. But
yeah.
How important is he to it? How does he fit? Can he be the long-term guy? And I guess just where are they offensively?
Well, the reason he won this job is kind of that veteran leadership that he has. Because you go out and look at the skill positions that they have around Teddy Bridgewater, and it is a really, really young group. I mean, they're all first and second round picks, which is crazy. You know, the tight ends, all the receivers, the backs, you know, they're all highly drafted, but they're all really young outside of Melvin Gordon. So what they really do like is that he is that presence, that calming, that leadership side of things, to where he runs the show with a lot of youthful talent around him. What you saw in the first game, I wasn't surprised by, because I spent a lot of days with him during training camp. Now, the chemistry he had with Jerry Jeudy stood out throughout camp, and you saw it in the opener. Now he's not going to be with him. But the difference with this receiving core is they're really deep. Like, Tim Patrick might be the best number four receiver in football. When they lost Cortland Sutton last year, Tim Patrick was that big body guy that stepped in for him and didn't have a drop. So then you still have the speedster KJ Hamler, you still have Sutton, which looked for him to get more attention, and coming off an ACL himself, he played about 80% of the snaps in the opener against the Giants. That's big. And then you saw them go to the tight ends. They have both of them. I think the way Teddy runs this is he has so many options with the football. As long as he's smart and sees things pre-snap, he's going to go to the place where he's going to have the greatest opportunity for success and the least opportunity to turn the football over. That's what they want him to do, with the lack of, you know, playmaking ability sometimes he has. But you saw him go downfield. KJ Hamler dropped a surefire touchdown on a deep ball that he threw brilliantly. So they showed that he will take probably more shots than some people think, but protecting the football is the name of the game for Teddy Bridgewater. And I think he'll do it throughout this year with all the options he has to throw the football to.
Jags Drive Time airs Monday, Wednesday, and Thursdays at 10 a.m. on Jaguars.com and Jags social media. A way to stay in the game early? Fix the pre-snap penalties. NFL Network analyst Bucky Brooks joins John Osier and me each Wednesday on Huddle Up with Bucky Brooks. And this week, how to go about taking care of those issues in practice. 10 penalties last week, Bucky. Some substitution issues. How do you fix that in a practice week? Or is it deeper than that?
I mean, I think it's a few different things that you talk about. You talk about it all the time. And I'm sure it's one of those things that Urban has talked about from the day that he's taken the job. When he stands in front of the team, he has to outline how to win. And I think that's one thing that we can't underestimate. The guys on this team playing together have not won a lot. So we can't assume that you can skip steps and guys will know how to win. So when it comes to penalties, false starts, encroachments, little things that you can control, always harping on those details. When it comes to winning the turnover battle, taking it away and not giving the ball up, making sure everyone understands how precious the ball is when you have it in your possession, understanding that you can't allow the explosive plays to happen on defense. The ball can't go over the top of the defense or outside the perimeter. And so it's the daily commitment to making sure that you talk to the team about how to win games. And so, look, he's talked about it being a rebuild. It is a rebuild while also being a learning project. He has to teach a lot of young players how to win in this league, and he has to do it without really being familiar with the league.
I have a question for the scout.
Go ahead, John.
Or in this case, the coach, who must be incredibly, you know, all I see are Bucky Brooks, you know, on the head of this show. He's the coach. He's the scout. This is the most versatile guy I've ever been around, Bucky Brooks. So here is what I want to know from you. You're a coach. You coach kids. You've been coached. I get questions every day in the Ozone, every time there's penalties. How do you work on it? Bucky, specifically in practice, is there a way to work on it, or is this just something guys have to mentally take to the field with them? How do you coach it? Because that's the question I get a million times. And obviously by these biceps, I did not play in the league.
I think the one thing that we've seen around the league where people try and work on is they have officials out every day at practice. They have officials throwing flags, talking to the players, letting them know, hey, you were grabbing out here on the perimeter at corner. That would be a penalty in the league. Hey, you're offsides, back up. And so you have referees on the field guiding the players through so they kind of understand what's going on. Now, most coaches would tell you they don't like doing punitive things for penalties and those things, but sometimes you had to add some incentives for guys to do it right. So we've seen teams at other places where they have guys run laps or go touch the goalposts and come back and little things. But it has to be a consistent message when it comes about, when it comes to playing the game the right way. And so I'm sure Urban and his staff are talking about those things each and every day to the players.
What, wasn't Joe Judge one of those coaches that did that like last year? Bucky made him run a bunch of laps and stuff in the Giants.
Look, that's an old Nick Saban trick. There are a lot of coaches that believe, hey, go give me a lap. You jump off sides, you do something that is not positive when it comes to helping us win games. You have to do something, up downs and all this other stuff. I mean, they're, you know, I think Greg Williams, they do up downs for anything and everything that is off. And so some of those things works. I think the best thing to alleviate all of that, when you have good players, you tend to play better. So the players just have to improve to get to a level where they can play winning football.
Huddle Up with Bucky Brooks airs Wednesdays at 4:30 on Jaguars.com and Jags social media. Now to the Urban Meyer Show from this week. The head coach discussed Teddy Bridgewater, home field advantage at the bank, and the Broncos defense.
Teddy Bridgewater, you know, he was in the 2011 recruiting class. Coming out of the Miami area, he had been actually committed to Miami, and then Charlie Strong got him to come to Louisville after Randy Shannon was gone at the U down there. I know you were at ESPN in 2011, but what is your recollection of time with Teddy Bridgewater, maybe in the recruiting process?
Yeah, I did get involved with that one, but I know Charlie, he did a great job for Coach Strong at Louisville, and wonderful guy. I know enough about him. Man, he's a pro's pro. You know, we saw his name out there and a guy that could compliment Trevor, too. We looked at him and I just have great respect for him as a player.
Coach, this week, trying to bounce back from a loss, is there anything better than doing that at home? You can be able to come back and be a little bit amongst the confines of some fans that will certainly help you along the way.
Yeah, doggone it. I want this place to, you know, that's just a dream of, you know, we have a great owner. We have a great city. We got to develop become a great team because these fans deserve it. We want them to be out here. And, you know, I made a comment early in that, you know, we have a reputation of giving away or selling tickets or something like that. I just have an incredible dream of what this stadium, I want this thing to look like. And so it starts this week. So I'd love to see everybody come out. And as important as that is, or more important, we play well.
And the Denver Broncos come to town last week. They went on the road and beat the New York Giants. Good football team, and one thing that they're certainly known for, Vic Fangio, their head coach, is a defensive-minded guy, and he's got a couple really good football players on that defensive side of the ball.
Oh, their pass rushers. You know, Von Miller is obviously one of the legendary pass rushers. Like, he's been around forever. And my first experience against him, I know of him, and he's electric fast. He changes up his rush on you, and you have to be aware, you know, he lines up to our right side. And then Chubb, if he plays, is another – didn't play last week, but he's another pass rusher. So they've done a good job loading that team up with good players. Very big inside and strong inside. So very well-coached defensive team.
And finally, a final thought with you, Coach. You know, just getting back on track. Week number two, it was 1 of 17 last week. You can turn the page on this Tuesday and look forward to week number two. And that's the beauty of the NFL, and a 24-hour rule. Do you live by that 24-hour rule?
Yeah, I wish I could, man. But there's poster children for a way to do things and how not to do them and how I take a loss. But the best thing today, and I told the best 15 minutes of my day, and I do it about every hour, is I go walk down the train room and locker room and weight room and just talk to players. And that's what this whole thing's all about. It's always been that way for me. So go down and talk to them, and we all got to do better, and we are committed to do that.
I'm with you. I don't know how in the world anybody ever lived by a true 24-hour rule. I mean, heck, when you work so hard and all of a sudden it comes down to 3 hours, how can it not affect you beyond 24 hours?
My problem is I got to get over the 3-month rule or something like that. I got to get over the darn thing.
No doubt. Coach, appreciate your time. Good luck to you this week. We'll talk to you a little bit later.
Thank you.
A new day moving ahead for the Urban Meyer Show. It now airs Tuesday afternoons at 5 o'clock on the Jaguars Radio Network. Remember to subscribe to the official Jaguars Podcast Network on Apple iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you download your pods, and leave us that 5-star rating and enjoy the game this Sunday. Thank you for listening. I'm JP Shadrick. We'll catch you next week on the Jaguars Broadcast Week in Review Podcast, presented by TIAA Bank.